Thank you, Larry. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Sing some of those great old hymns about the glory of God. It's good to... you said there was no snow. You should come to our house. We're about 750 feet elevation, I believe, and we don't get much sun around our house, so we got a bunch of snow still on the ground. It's funny how we drive down the hill and all of a sudden it's as if it never snowed anywhere. So I may be a little skewed when I, you know, when we start talking about canceling service. Oh, we better cancel, and you all are saying, there's no snow down here on the valley floor. Get off your high horse. Get off your hill. So anyway, it's great to be here today. Hey, I'm sharing a message today that I actually had prepared for last week. And I am going to start out with a poem, but it would have made a lot more sense last Sunday, because it was... Because the title of the poem is "'Twas the Night After Christmas," so bear with me. I'm gonna share this with you if I can get myself there. There it is. Yep, "'Twas the Night After Christmas." So this is the way the poem goes. It says, "'Twas the night after Christmas when all through the house, every creature was searching, both me and my spouse. Where am I on the thing? Okay, the stockings, the drawers were, we looked everywhere in hopes that the receipts from our gifts would be there. When out of the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the house to see what was the matter. When what to my wondering eye should I see but my neighbor too searching his trash on the street. More rapid than eagles he looked but in vain, and he shouted his creditors and called them by name. Oh Visa, oh MasterCard, oh Discover, I'm appalled. I've thrown cash away. Cash away, cash away all. He'd splurge once again, he knew it too well, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. And then in a twinkling I heard in my head a gentle reminder from what he had said. I too was as guilty from my head to my foot. My conscience was tarnished like ashes and soot. I focused a season on presents and things and not on my family, my friends, and my king. I spoke not a word, but went straight to my work, ran into the house, I'd been such a jerk. Right up to my wife, I came with a hug and kissed all my kids right there on the rug. The night after Christmas is better, said I, than never recalling in Christmas is Christ. The best of all gifts which to us has been given is Jesus who died for our sins and is risen." Whoops, I must have, there we go. And is risen. Anyway, so it is a very good, thank you. Thank you for that. It was a very good poem. So let's move on from there. And let's go back to the very good poem. All right. So anyway, it's the first year of 2022, right? Can you believe it? And I know some of you are already stressed. You've picked up the Bible reading for the year thing, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm 2 days behind already. You know, well, we don't want you to stress about Bible reading. We want Bible reading to become an important part of your life. And so don't stress if you get behind. It's not nobody's going to grade you. But we wanted to, Nikki and I were thinking about, reading the Bible together and having opportunities to discuss what we're reading and the importance of the scripture. And so just want to encourage you to participate with us. If you're on Facebook, I don't know when, Nikki, the Facebook group's going to be up. It is this week. It's going to be up. So, we're going to chat with each other about what we're reading and talk about some great insights. So it's going to be good. So I encourage you to do that. But, when I started the year 2021 last year, no idea that I'd be here today. No idea what the Lord had in store for my life. It's been a challenging year. We've seen death in our family. We've seen joys in our family. We've seen moving. We've seen all kinds of things. Really, today what I want to do is I want to just do things a little bit different. So instead of just preaching a message, I want to give you some time to reflect on last year and on the coming year. I want us to do that by looking at Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles electronically or paper version, I want you to turn with me to to Psalm 139. And I want to just share with you three lessons. And then from those three lessons, I want us to springboard on some time where we're just going to reflect silently. Now, I know for some of you, that's you don't like doing that, but tough. We're going to do that anyway. So here's the first lesson out of Psalm 139. I kind of gave you a preview earlier. God is especially interested in you. Did you know that? That God is interested in you? And it's interesting. The opening verse of this psalm of David says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." Now, really, on the surface, that may look like a simple statement of David. However, if we look deeper, we see a more profound meaning. The word searched in the Hebrew is chakar, which means examine intimately. It's a word that is often used for like digging deep for something that's of value, like digging for gold, or back in Bible days, water was a precious commodity. So it's like digging a well for water. Chakar reminds us that God takes a special effort to know us. God doesn't simply look at the surface like oftentimes we do, but he goes down deep into the tiniest details of our existence. You see, God isn't interested in just knowing our name, looking at our outward appearance. God wants to know you intimately. And oftentimes that's what we do, don't we? We kind of look at the surface of a person. We judge a book by a cover. We judge a person by their actions, and we never really know what's going on deep down inside of their hearts and in their lives. I remember when Chris and I lived in Tulare, Chris was newly diagnosed with a blood clotting disorder, and in order to help manage that, she was put on a drug called Coumadin, a blood thinner. And she had to monitor her blood levels and all of that. Well, in an unfortunate event, she was prescribed a higher dose of Coumadin than she needed to, and she started feeling some intense pain in her stomach, and we found out later that was internal bleeding. Well, we called the doctor, and the doctor said, "Get her to the office right away." Well, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and so I didn't think. I was just stressed about Chris, and I wanted to get her help immediately. So I didn't call 911. I carried her out and put her in the car, and I jumped in the car, and I ran to the doctor's office. Now, it wasn't too far away from our house, really. But I remember getting up to this particular intersection, and it's one of those where the right-hand lane is right-hand turn only, right? Well, there was nobody in the right-hand lane, and so I pulled up in that right-hand lane, and I waited for the light to turn green because I was just going to punch it and get in front of the line of traffic that was by me. So I did that. I punched it. And I, you know, got in front of the big old truck that was in front of the line. Well, I noticed in my rearview mirror that this big old truck was riding my tail feathers. And he followed me all the way into the doctor's parking lot. I pulled in. He screeched right behind me. He gets out of his truck with this big, you know, macho bravado. And he says, "Are you in a hurry?" And I yelled back at him, "Well, as a matter of fact, sir, my wife is in extreme pain, and the doctor told me to bring her." And so I scooped Chris in my arms, and I began to carry her. And he said, "Oh, okay." And he walked back in his truck, and he drove away. He didn't help me open the door. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry." He just, "Oh, okay." And he got in his truck, and he left. And I thought to myself, you know, how often have I done that? Have I witnessed someone, you know, whiz by me on the highway, and I judge them by that action? Like, you know, is there a fire? Maybe there is. I don't know. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is this, that God doesn't just look at our surface. He doesn't just look at our actions. He looks at our motives. He looks at our thoughts. He looks at everything about us. And he's interested. But for some, you know, the question is, well, what is God interested in? You know, it's funny because I talk to a lot of people who think God is interested in simply finding fault in our lives. And that somehow God is simply interested in watching and waiting for us to make a mistake so that he can point that out and judge us and tell us how wrong we are. But you know, the truth of the matter is that can be farthest from the truth. A lot of people think that God is a cosmic killjoy up in the sky just waiting for us to make a mistake so squash, he can smash us. But the truth of the matter is God is looking at us intimately because he loves us. Ephesians 1:5 says this: God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That God takes great pleasure in the fact that you have been created and that you are his child. 1 John 3:1 tells us this, "So see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." See, we're God's children. He loves us intimately. And because we are children, God is interested in all that we do and we say. And the truth of the matter is, folks, we don't have to fear God, because God loves us with an unfailing love. God is intimately interested in you and in your life. Second lesson I want to point out is this. God knows everything about you. It's scary, right? Because God supernaturally searches us, then it follows that God knows everything about us. And when I say everything, I literally mean everything. There's a passage of scriptures that says he's got the hair on our heads numbered, right? That's how intimately he knows us. For some, that's a big figure. For others, maybe not so much. For me, it's getting a little easier and easier for God to count the hairs on my head. But God knows everything about us, the big details of our lives, the small details of our lives. He knows us intimately. Go on in the first six verses of this psalm. It says, "O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is..." Did we miss something? No, we didn't. "For there's not a word..." Or maybe there is. "For there is not a word on my tongue, God. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me before and behind and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Notice the different words that are used in this particular passage that show how God has great knowledge of us. It says God knows us. He understands us. He comprehends us. He is acquainted with all of our ways. In verse 2, it says, "He knows you're sitting down and you're rising up." That means there's no movement that we can make without God noticing. In verse 2, it further says, "You understand my thoughts from afar." God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you thought in the past. He knows what you're thinking right now. Careful. He knows what you're thinking in the future. Not only does he know what you're thinking, he knows the motive behind what you're thinking or what you're going to say. Verse 3 tells us that God comprehends our path, our lying down. If we look up the Hebrew word for comprehend, it means God is sifting out who we are. He's looking for the substance of who we are, for our value. He knows our path, the entire course of our life. And verse 4 tells us that God knows all the words that we say, including what we mean to say. You know, as we take time to examine our lives today, there's no reason for us to think that we can hide anything from God, right? If God knows everything about us, there's nothing we can hide from him. There's not a word, there's not a motive, there's not something that we can hide from God. And here's the good news today, folks. God meets us in reality. God meets us in our reality. And he meets us there with love and compassion, not judgment. You know, the challenge of our modern life is that we often try to live anywhere but this present moment. We live in the past, where we have regret or nostalgia, where, you know, everything was perfect back then. Was it? Or we live in the future. We worry and we wish and we hope about what's to come in the year 2022. We live in hope, wondering or worrying or wishing. Or we distract ourselves from the present with all kinds of things: entertainment, social media, food, drink, work, our to-do list, etc., etc. But the only place that God has access to us is right here, right now. Where I really am. You see, the truth is, folks, God already knows. So we simply need to be honest with Him. Are you angry today? Tell God. God will meet you in your anger. Are you sad today? Tell God. God will meet you right there. It's not a surprise to Him that you're feeling bitter, that you're feeling angry, that you're feeling lonely, that you're feeling frustrated, that you're feeling happy, that you're feeling excited. It's not a surprise to God. God wants to meet us in our reality. And He wants to help if we need change. He wants to help change us. You see, God knows everything about us, and yet He still loves us. I love this passage in Romans. It says, "But God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you get that? That while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, while we were still living our own way, our own life, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. That's some great news. See, unlike human love that can be changed by circumstances, God's love is perfect and consistent. God loves with an everlasting, lasting love. Once again, we've got to get real with God and remember that He knows everything about us. But there's a third lesson, a third challenge that I want to give us today, and that's this. We must ask God for guidance. And here's the thing. You see, since God knows everything, then it follows that if we want to know something, we should go and ask God about it, right? David said this in the conclusion of the psalm. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, David recognized how we all struggle to see our true selves. And he knows how poor we are at examining ourselves without God's help. You see, we can all fall under the delusion that everything's okay in my life, or at least we say that to people around us. Oh, I'm okay. Everything's good. We might think that we're fine, right? But we all struggle. That's why we hide ourselves so often. And so David prayed for God to search him. He prayed for God to know his heart, to know his worries, his imagination, his memories, his hopes, his dreams, his aspirations, his feelings, his plans, and everything in between. But most importantly, David prayed for God to specifically show him any offensive way in him. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for that we often translate offensive is actually the Hebrew word for pain or hurt. So what David is asking is he's asking God to point out any area in his life where he's hurt God, or he's hurt somebody else, or maybe he's hurting himself. And the thing is, we ask because by knowing where not to go, God can then clearly show us where we need to go. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to do something a little different. I'm going to ask Ruth Ann to come and just to play softly on the piano. And so I want us to spend some time just quietly thinking about last year, 2022. And I want you to begin by just simply asking God to search you. I'm going to stand here, but you don't have to look at me. I'd rather you didn't. That's really uncomfortable, but maybe close your eyes, get in a posture of listening, whatever that may be, and just simply ask God to search your heart. Ask God to meet you in your reality today. What is that reality? Where do you find yourself at the beginning of the year 2022? Do you find yourself struggling? Do you find yourself full of hope? Do you find yourself full of doubt? Where do you find yourself? Ask God to search you. I'm going to be quiet now and give you a moment to do that. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Meet me in my reality today, O Lord. Tell God today where you're at. Where am I, Lord? Here's where I'm at. The second step I want you to take today is you've laid out before God where you're at. And now I want you to just listen for God's response. So stop talking to God. Might be hard for some. Try to picture, as you close your eyes, try to picture God, Jesus Christ, standing before you. And I want you to listen to what he has to say to you today. Maybe an action he wants you to take. It may just simply be a word of affirmation that God wants to speak to you. To say, hey, you're my child, I love you. Or maybe God simply wants to say, hey, I understand. Take a moment right now just to listen to God's response. What's God saying to you today? the third step I want you to take is really homework for you. So I want you to take some time to write down, if you have your note sheet here, to write down what God says to you, because I want you to go to someone this week and tell them what you heard God say to you. You may say, oh, I can't do that. Don't think I'm crazy. Well, you know, one great way to actually solidify what we hear God saying is run it by someone who cares about us. So I want you to take what you heard God saying to you, and I want you to tell somebody. Might be your spouse, might be a friend, might be your golf buddy, who knows. Tell somebody what you heard God saying to you today. And remember, it's for you, not necessarily for them, although they may get something out of what you say. And then listen to what they have to say about what God said to you. And then the final step that I want us to do is I want you to, if God gave you some direction today, I want you to take some steps to follow that. Follow God's direction. And so on your note sheet, it says, what one practical step am I going to take this week in response to what God's saying to me? What one practical step am I going to take in response to what God has said to me? You might share that with the person you're going to share what God said to you, to help hold you accountable. You know what I heard God say to me today? Jerry, I'm proud of you. You're right where you need to be. That's good news. You know, maybe you heard something that filled you with maybe some anxiety, some shame. Give that to God. Shame is not of God. Maybe guilt is, and someday we'll unpack the difference between shame and guilt. But if you're feeling shame, if you're feeling beat up by what you heard, that's not from God. Because God only speaks to us good news. And yes, good news sometimes requires us to take a different road, to take a different action, but it's always good news. And so what am I going to do in response to God saying, hey, I'm proud of you, you're right where you need to be? Well, I'm going to live into that. Okay, God, what do you mean by that? You know, I'm going to take some time this week to kind of flesh that out and talk to God about that. Thanks, God, I'm glad you're proud of me, but what can I do to live into the fact that I'm where I'm supposed to be? You see, the question I think we all need to ask ourselves is this: where are we different at the end of 2021 than we were at the beginning? How are we closer to God? How are we more like Jesus? And then as we begin a new year, you know, there, honestly, the days go on, right? The new years are just kind of, you know, I mean, here's the cynical part of me. It's just kind of manufactured, you know, season, whatever. But to me, it gives me a great opportunity just to pause and to think. God, what have I done? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to say I'm sorry about? Maybe to whom do I need to say I'm sorry to repent? And then how can I live this year being more like Jesus? What steps do I need to take? How do I need to respond to God? How do I need to listen? You see, the truth is God knows you intimately. There's nowhere you can hide from God. And so just lay it out on him. Just give it to him. And listen to his response. Friends, God loves you more than you know. God cares about your life, maybe even more than you do. And God desires for you to hear his words of affirmation and love and comfort and challenge at times. Because he wants me to be more like him tomorrow than I am today. How do I do that? Do that by asking God to search us. to know our hearts, to test me and to know my anxious thoughts, to see if there's any offensive, any hurtful things that I've done or said to God or to others, so that God can lead me in the way everlasting. Do you want that this year? Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you for just a time where we can have the opportunity to pause, to meet you in our reality, Lord. For some, that reality may be full of hope, full of joy, full of peace. For others, that reality may be full of struggle and anxiety and pushing and pulling in all sorts of different directions. But God, that's our reality. And you meet us right there. And so, Lord, we want to stand before you as open books and ask you, Lord, to search us, to know us, to lead us in your way everlasting. Father, I pray that the words that each person here today heard from you were words of encouragement, were words of challenge, were words of affirmation, were words of blessing, was good news, Lord. And I pray that we'll take that good news that we heard and we'll share it with someone this week. Say, you know, that's what I heard from God. What do you think? So that we can be encouraged by them or challenged by them. And then pray, Father, I pray that we'll respond in a bodily, tangible way, in a practical way this week to what we heard you say. So that again, we can begin this year walking in the direction of everlasting life each step of the way. Lord, I pray for this house, for this body of believers. Father, I pray that as we listen to you, and as we listen to our community, and as we listen to the hurts and the hopes and the joys and the pain of the people around us, Lord, that we'll be able to respond in kind. To respond, Lord, as you would have us to respond. Lord, we don't want to rush out into our community thinking that we have all the answers. We want to listen first and listen well to know exactly what you're doing in our community so that we can jump in and get involved. Father, I'm excited about 2022 and what you have for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless us, continue to help us to grow, continue to lead us again, Father, in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I just pray at the beginning of this year a blessing upon these people. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would shower your love on them, that you would bless them in immeasurable ways so that we can be a blessing to those around us, I pray, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.